This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hunt. Oh, what a goal! Two here. It's out to Misford. It's his and Coventry second. He's going all the way. Is he going to finish? He is. Oh, a magnificent goal from Darren Huckabee.
Coventry are going to win the FA Cup.
This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the final Sky Blues Extra podcast of the season. Sponsored, of course, by the Sky Blue Tavern. It's Dean here in charge of the ones and twos this evening alongside Ross Spence. Ross, how are we?
Yes, mate. All good. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Back in the UK.
You, mate. Normally you've missed the globe. Last time I was with you, you were in Tokyo and all sorts, mate, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in Tokyo for the semi-final. I got absolutely hammered by a lot of Japanese United fans.
I can imagine.
To begin with, and then obviously it all
to
changed.
To be honest, mate, the Japanese fans would have been exactly the same in the stadium, mate, because that's just what they're pretty much full of.
Yeah.
Wouldn't matter whether you're in Tokyo or London, mate, it would have been the exact same amount either way.
Do you know one thing, though? Our name is travelling across that country.
Yeah,
massively.
Yeah.
The Sakamoto thing is huge. Like, because obviously I'm a Westerner, I always get attraction anyway from...
It's just the
thing when you're in Japan. So they're asking me about football, and then I say I support Coventry, and then it's like, oh, Sakamoto.
Yeah.
It's mental.
It's class, though. That's what you want, isn't it?
It is. And we're becoming global. We're Mr. Worldwide. We're like the pitbull of the football world.
It's not just him. It's now what we just spoke about, the semi-final. Even that's going to have given us a lot more global... Do you know what I mean? How long were we sort of trending for, like, after the couple of days on Twitter? I was looking, I think it was the Monday, because I stayed over in London after the game. And the Monday, I was on the way home, and we were still trending on Twitter the next day, like, people talking about us. I just thought, this is crazy. Like, 7 years ago, we were pretty much in the slums, nowhere to be seen. And now we should have beat Man United. We've got players like Sakamoto getting us globally worldwide. I think... Kelly touched on it in his, obviously we'll touch on it later, but he said how, like, younger children are now coming to the games and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's just so big for us, isn't it, now to think that we're in that position where we're being spoken about and we're known, if that makes sense, which is nice for us, I think.
I think the United fans are still going on at us, though, aren't they?
Attendance and stuff,
it's mad.
Every post on Twitter that we put, it's always got United fans underneath it. There's little bog accounts and stuff.
We have rattled them big time,
mate. And the only reason that we've rattled them so much, mate, is because they know they should have lost to us. Because if they just weren't, they wouldn't be fussed about Cardiff. Like, let's be honest, they knew that. And the real Man United fans, like, I was at Blackburn last week, and we stopped off in the services, and obviously Burnley had played United, I think, hadn't they? And there was a few United fans, obviously there was some drunk Cov fans going, oh, 4-3 and stuff like that. And they were with their kids, and obviously we just had gone in there, got a bit of food, and we were leaving. And he said to one of me and the other lad, said, oh, you Cov? And we said, yeah. And ones I've spoke to, pretty much all of them have said, like, hey, you should have won the game. Like, it's not a debate. You should have won it. So that's the only reason I think a lot of them are so rattled, is because they know that deep down they should have lost. So,
yeah, I mean, this is the last pod of the season. And if we'd got to that final, there would have been another one, of course. But unfortunately, not to be. Maybe next year. There's always next season.
He wants another cup run, mate. So let's see what we can
but not to the detriment of the league form, because, you know, the poor end to the season has continued, hasn't it? It's really fizzled out. You know, I get it. Like, teams do fade towards the end of a season with a few games when either there's nothing riding on it or there's everything riding on it. You can go one of each way. And unfortunately for us, everything was kind of just... in that cup game, wasn't it? And
got a bit peaked on, really, didn't it? Yeah, you could
sense it either side of that Manchester United game, couldn't you? You could feel like we were sleepwalking into defeats and bad performances, just in the hope that FA Cup was gonna lead to something. And then after that, all the sort of momentum, it's just been dragged out. The life has been sucked out of the team, hasn't it?
Big time, mate. I'll be honest, it's been a really, I mean, for me, like, obviously we'll touch on yesterday's game a little bit later, but just the performances have just been so leggy and
lackluster, haven't they?
It's been so passive, and I can't even get started on some of the goals that we've conceded. Like, I know obviously Collins and things have made mistakes, but take away his mistakes, even the defending and the things that we've done just as a team in general is nowhere near the level that we should have been. And I actually said it to my old man earlier on. I was talking to him. I said, we had a terrible start and we've actually had a terrible end to the season as well. Like, we've had that bit in between from November till end of January, start of February, where we were top, like peak us. We've had a couple of moments since then. Obviously, we've had good wins against, you know, teams like Leeds. We've obviously beat Wolves in the cup. We played United. But bar that... I mean, our form, the form table since after that international break has been absolutely horrific. And Robins, it's the first time really I've heard him kind of nail into the team a little bit. It wasn't a nail on real going from, but he just said the defending has been nowhere near good enough this season. And I have been saying it all season myself as well. I said we're too passive and we're too naive in certain moments of the game, and it costs us because we can see goals. Teams don't even have to work for it.
That's the annoying thing, isn't it?
You know, but if teams are going to come to us and they're going to score good goals against us, yes, it's frustrating and you might lose games, but at least you know it's not down to crap errors from your team. But the amount of times I've watched us, and I end up slamming a chair because I'm just so frustrated by the fact that we've just conceded such a bad goal that they've not even had to work for. It's almost like we've just gone, there you go, have a 1-0 head start against us.
But it is week in, week out. We seem to be doing these same mistakes over and over again.
It's constant. That's the problem with it. It's not one or two games. It's been consistently every game we've been doing it.
They have to take this period as a bit of a learning curve for next season, because you can't... It's basically sleepwalking into defeats.
Yeah, massively.
And I was looking at it today. We've only won 9 games at home this season. That is just not good enough, is it?
And you think our home form at one point, we'd only lost once at home in the league all season. That was to West Brom. I remember we were coming on the pod with you and saying, oh, we're going to have a good home record this year. That's been shot down the pan in these last couple of months, mate. Like, we've just lost so many games. It was such a difficult place to come and play at. This was earlier on in the season. And we've just massively fell off. But it's a combination, I think, of putting all our eggs into that basket, obviously, of the FA Cup. You've obviously had injuries to players.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We can't have both.
We've been leggy, haven't we? It's been so blatantly obvious that we literally, some of the players look like they've been playing with cement on their feet, mate, in certain games. Like, that whole game was just ridiculous. You had fans shouting run at the players, and I'm thinking, run to where? They look like they can barely walk, let alone run.
With the state of the squad, for injuries to begin with, and obviously the size of it, you can't have both a cup run and a good league run.
Let's be honest, we realistically built for the league this year, did we? No one expected us to go and do what we were going to do in the cup.
Of course not.
It wasn't planned for. So
we had four games rearranged because of the cup, which puts more pressure on to the end of the season playing Saturday midweek. It's just
and on top of that, we played Sheffield Wednesday in a replay in a moment where there was games galore anyway around Christmas. So that added an extra game into us during periods. It's had knock-on effects over periods of the season. And we can't just sit here and go, oh, you know, that cost us. Let's be honest, there's been games that we should have won that we didn't. If we'd have just had 6 or 7 more points, for example, the Swansea game at home, not drawing that and winning that game would have been an extra 3 points we'd have had on the board. That Huddersfield game right at the start of the season, you don't concede that. There's an extra, 4 points that you've got there from...
Well, the Swansea free kick, the Sheffield Wednesday equaliser. There's all those little ones that just, you know, an extra 2 points for, you know, in 3 different games. Yeah, you know, it's back in the mix again.
Even like, I know Blues have gone down now, but even going there and getting turned over.
They won more games at home than us, by the way.
Yeah, which is nuts, which should not even be a thing. Like, it's not embarrassing, like some people have said. It's not like, let's throw our toys out the pram, but it simply isn't good enough. We have to call it out.
We're not saying, you know, fair play. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's got to be better.
We are obviously disappointed, but there's other factors in play. It's not just a case of like...
Well, we played our most important game, really, after Wembley with a front three of Matty Godden, Jada Silva and Josh Eccles. Like, as soon as you saw that lineup, you know that you're going to be in trouble. And don't get me wrong, we only lost that game by individual errors again, but... We can't expect to be getting playoffs when you're seeing what other teams are then competing with and the squads they've had. Like, look at Hull, what they turned up with Carvalho, Philogene. Like, we basically lost that when we lost Takamoto and we had this cup run. And that's ultimately been the be-all and end-all. And it's not an excuse because we should have done better and we should have had better performances, which probably would have allowed us a bit of a breather to have this bad spell. But because we didn't do that, it's cost us then by having this cup run and not having the legs in certain moments.
But so, we have gained in other areas because we get, you know, massively. We spoke about the sort of the global eyes on us. And you can imagine there was a lot of players looking at that game going, bloody hell, I want a bit of that.
Financially, we've gained as
financially,
well.
Massively, yeah. Because obviously King has saw the sums that you can get.
I think a lot of people are actually underestimating how much money we've actually made from
You're talking maybe... towards the 5 million mark from this cup run.
Yeah, and that goes towards maybe 1-2 players in the summer that we could go and get. Do you know what I mean?
There's a bigger picture to all of this.
And I think a lot of COV fans they just get panicky. And I just think, don't panic. There's no reason to panic. We've got players now. They're not loan players, these players. They're not like before where they've got 1 year left. A lot of these players have 3.5 years still with us on their contract, or maybe 4 years, whatever it may be. And we've then got money to now reinvest and go again next year. And you can tell by the hierarchy that we have and how they speak that planning's already been well in advance of before now. Like Robin said in his pre-match before QPR, didn't he? He said, as soon as that whistle goes, bang, planning starts. We've got a bit of holiday time and whatnot.
I love that from him, actually. It was absolutely ruthless, I thought.
It was just no pissing about, mate. And that's what it should be. That's the standard that it has to be. It has to be, this is what's happened. We've ended up in this position. We've had good moments, but X, Y, and Z is not good enough. And he also called out positions that we need to improve on, i.e. the midfield and not getting enough goals, which I also liked. It was very carbon copy of him and Vivash and Doug King and the recruitment team know exactly what they want and what they're going to be doing in the summer. So we just need to sit back, have a little breather, save some money and just see what we do, mate.
Enjoy it. Enjoy over the next few months. Obviously, silly season with transfers has already started a day after our season's ended. So we'll get into that later on. But let's have a quick chat about yesterday. Obviously, not much to talk about because it was, again, a poor performance, like we've alluded to. I actually thought it was a pretty strong side. I was expecting a few of the youth team to come in.
So was I.
But it was pretty much like, for what we had available, full strength. That's surprising.
It was so flat, mate. We started the first 20 minutes and I thought, these don't look bothered. They're safe. They've had their good results. They weren't really getting a kick of the ball. And I just thought, all we need to do now is get one up and we'll win this game. And it'll be a nice end to the season. And I really wanted us to win this game yesterday. I thought it was so important to finish on a high and get a good win and to finish the season. And to just play how we ended up playing, mate, was just so frustrating. Like, I'm going to be totally honest. That is the first goal that we've scored all season that I genuinely didn't even get up and celebrate. I literally just sat in my seat.
Well,
I literally just gave a little clap.
Go watch it back, right? And just listen to how the crowd cheers the goal.
You know when we do the, it's the most forced and lethargic one that we've probably done all season. Like,
it felt like we scored like a consolation goal 5-0 down. Yeah, that's how it felt.
Everyone knew that we weren't going to equalise after we'd scored that goal. It was just a little consolation that we were like, oh, okay, we've seen a goal. But it was just, I was really, really frustrated at the end of the game. Like, once the whistle had gone, I'd had 5 or 10 minutes. I clapped the players and I went in the casino. I'd chilled out a little bit. But
Desperado in hand was there?
No, Madry, mate. Madry in the
casino. In the casino, right.
I'm gonna throw that one out there. Next season, when you go up, if you do go to the casino, mate, get yourself a Madry.
They're plastic pint glasses, though, aren't they?
Oh, mate, yeah, but the Madry that they pour in there is unbelievable, mate.
Nah,
it's top in the casino.
Why is it plastic in the casino, though?
I don't understand that either. It's weird, isn't it? I don't understand why they don't just give you glasses like normal. It just doesn't make any sense. It's strange, mate. I don't really understand it. Hopefully that's something they can improve on working with the club and stuff like that. But yeah, I was flat at the full-time whistle to begin with, mate, to be honest, because I just really thought they'd have
matched
thought
the, it matched the performance, didn't it? It matched the performance. It felt lethargic. It felt like we were going through the motions for the majority of the game.
For 70 minutes, mate, we just didn't even... The pressing was just horrific in the game as well. It was just... Everything was just like... we'll jog to this one then, or, you know, it was Sims and Hadji literally had absolutely nothing to feed off the entire game. Like, we're talking like scraps. Like, I remember at one point, Sims got the ball out wide. I think it was Milan hit it to him in the channel and he's running with the ball and he's got three players next to him and he's just got no support and he just had to try and take him on. Their players are almost deflected it and it's come back to him and then he's still got three players around. And I think he ended up passing it back to like Eccles, but half the players were just sorting to like jogging to keep up with him. And I just thought at that moment, I just thought, this is, you know, people had paid 37 quid to get a ticket to watch that yesterday as well. I know there was nothing riding on it, but last game of the season at home, you know, you get
a short 30,000 as well.
I thought just put a little bit more legs.
It was a pathetic performance. Actually.
It was ridiculous. Like, because it was the end of the season and we didn't want to really sour note it, it's kind of been brushed under the carpet. But if we'd have been talking 10 games ago about playing like that, mate, we'd have been on here absolutely fuming with that. Like, it was pathetic.
Robbins at the end of the game alluded to that himself. Like, it's all well and good, like, having so much of the ball, but we did nothing with it. Like, we lacked any sort of threat or intent
as well. Honestly, and it's starting to really bug me now, and you're going to laugh about this. How many times do we do it where we pass it and then you can see the opening that we then don't go and take to get in between the lines, and then we end up passing it back and Thomas will get it and he'll do this pass that basically nearly goes out of play and still have to stretch to keep it in? And I just think, so we've done that to basically now nearly lose the ball. It's like there has to be more emphasis with what we're doing next year. Like, you look at Ipswich the other day, their first goal was a carbon copy of what you have to do in this division. Know where your players are, find feet, ball in behind the back line to the byline, pull it back to the penalty box, strike out, bang, goal, 1-0 up. Like, that was what we did last year that was really effective, whereas this year we kind of lost that in moments. We didn't do things that we were good at in certain moments of the game, and then we find ourselves 1-0 down or chasing after games and sort of lugging after it a little bit. And it was just lethargic, mate. It feels like it is just pass, 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 and then give it away or don't do something with it.
It's not intelligent enough for me.
We have to learn to break the lines a lot quicker next season, which is so important for us. Yeah. I think this is where Robbins is talking about getting an attacking midfielder that are going to get goals. But we need our wingers back. It's so obvious. Sheaf got the ball so many times yesterday and he was just looking for that spray out wide. And you've got Eccles basically tucked in as a centre midfielder and Hadji's a second striker. And it's just like, this is the areas next year when you've got Mason Clark and Sakamoto that are just going to be such a big difference for us that we've lacked so much. But yeah, in general, mate, it was just a bit of a pathetic foot performance, really, weren't it, to be honest?
You've chatted a lot there, mate. My God.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a run. Yeah. That's a run and a half.
I do you know what? I needed to get it off my chest, mate. I think this pod's
well, this is a good forum for it.
It is, mate. I've not been that frustrated for a while, and I've not been on really that much since we've had this little run in, and I feel like all of it's just took its toll now, and now I'm on here. I kind of needed to just get rid of that frustration.
Well, we're going to talk about some nice stuff soon enough, so
let's move on to good stuff.
Yeah, we will do quickly. Let's go through the goals first of all. The first one, Chair, great finish, but...
He does Thomas, doesn't he, as well? He absolutely sells him a dream, doesn't he? He absolutely sent him for that as well. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, he uses Binks well as well. Do you know what I mean? He bends it round him, but I know it's a hard save. I mean, he's probably not...
He doesn't move, Ross. That's the thing. There's no attempt.
Just attempt to save it, at least. You know what I mean? Like, at least dive and make it look like you're trying to save it. Don't just go, oh, okay.
I have never been more sure in my life that we need a new goalkeeper in the summer.
Yeah, no, I am on that. I did like Collins at first. Like, don't get me wrong, you know my opinions on Wilson. He's not good enough, but I did like Collins when he first came in. But these mistakes are getting quite worrying now that he's
I feel like was dropped.
He got dropped after like three mistakes, didn't he?
Exactly. These types of mistakes. But I reckon Collins has done more because, I don't know, is Robbins just being stubborn about this whole situation because he paid a little bit of money for Collins and he feels like he needs to have him in the team because of that? I don't know. It's such a weird one. The whole situation is just. And then look at the second goal. Again, I mean, it's a calamity. He doesn't come out.
Someone said, didn't they, that Sheaf absolutely panned him?
After the goal, laid into him massively, Ben Sheaf.
Apparently, he just goes absolutely, basically just throws his arms up and says, oh, what the hell is going on here? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, went absolutely wild at him. And it was needed because, like, he's just not brave enough to come for that ball. And that's the confidence situation of him making mistake after mistake after mistake. It leads to more mistakes.
I think the team we've got now, they've got a lot of maturing to do. I think after this season, we've been very immature at moments. I think from looking at us and Collins, immature, Kitchen at moments, immature. Even Thomas has had his moments where he's been immature. Milan, immature. There's been a lot of immature moments from the team. I think, like we've said, it's next season, we'll probably see the benefits of it a little bit more. Do you know what I mean?
It's a good job Wright and Sims have scored a boatload of goals.
It'd have been Western for us, wouldn't it? The players that got panned at the start pretty much gave us a good season.
Yeah, with how things have developed at the back, which is definitely something that needs to be shored up. And talking about Hadji, probably be the only point in the game where
he got
there was
them,
a bit
really.
Of bravery and went at them. We score from. And he's got this knack of selling the defender inside, going down the line and putting balls into dangerous positions. And obviously, Jamie Allen was there, just gone onto the pitch and
16 goals, 7 assists in the league he finished on. Not a bad return for a £7 million striker in his first season in English football, really, is it?
Well, they've done the business then too. Like, yes, there can be complaints for the way they sort of went through the start of the season.
Yeah, and they've had moments.
It was always going to take time to bed in,
mate. And I've always said there was a good player in Hadji Wright, and I just think he's only going to get better next year. And to be honest, people don't really talk about it, but these are the players that big bids are going to come in for in the summer, mate. If I'm being honest, you know, there'll be teams that look at him and Sims and whatnot, and some teams will throw some money at some of these players, mate. They'll definitely, whether we accept them or not, but they'll definitely be interested in these players because people would have gone, you know what? They've had that first season with Kov now. They've had that experience. They're now at that level and know what to do. Let's put, you know, 12, 15 million in for Hadji and try and get him on board. You know, teams will look at that. So there definitely is going to be interest in some of our players, mate. So
do you have an interest in a man of the match?
Jesus, this is our question, mate. Huffed and puffed. I'd probably give it Sheaf, mate. He was probably the best player on the pitch, weren't he? To be honest, he was intercepting things. He was trying to make things happen. I mean, he was the best of a bad bunch, really, to be honest, weren't he? Yesterday,
I think him and Kelly had decent
days. Milan was all right at times as well. I think he just annoys me at the minute with this. Sometimes going forward, he's great. And then other times, he just has what I call Dabo syndrome, where he just doesn't want to take anyone on. Like, that's
I'll tell you what's affected him massively, being put to the right of the front three.
Yeah.
He was in his flow at right back. There was no need to move him from that position at all.
Yeah, I agree. Losing Sakamoto, I think, killed him as well a little bit, didn't it? Him and Sakamoto had a massively good relationship.
Well, he
on
mentioned
that, right
that in his pre-match press conference.
He said he can't wait to play. He's missed him massively. I think that says it all, really. So
great
to
see him back on the grass, though, Tats.
Lovely to see him.
Speaking better English than you.
Just walking around, yeah, much better English than me. I'm going to actually ask the club if I can go to the training ground and get English session. English.
See, there you go. Perfect.
Look, he's even making me stutter. He can get me to do English lessons with me, mate. He can teach me how to not have a speech impairment while we're at it. But yeah, he looked happy, mate. He had his little girl on, which was nice. It was nice to get his song sung again for
those
him.
Those scenes at the end of the game were really nice, actually.
Yeah, it was a nice little moment in the corner, weren't it? Just, I know they're frustrated. People have been frustrated with individual players during the whole season, but it was nice for like Kitchen and Thomas to get their song sung, even like Godden, Kelly, O'Hare to have his little moment with the fans as well. It was nice to cherish those moments and have one more little moment with them, really, and walk around the pitch. And you know, I know we know who we're saying goodbye to, but I did look at a couple of others and think, is that their last game in a Cov shirt? So yep. It was quite
it felt like an end of an era a little bit yesterday. And obviously there's two names you've mentioned there. Let's get into sort of talking about them. First of all, it's actually quite upsetting, this one for me, because he's been one of my favorite players ever to wear the Cov shirt. Liam Kelly, captain, leader, legend, 180 appearances for the Sky Blues, 3 goals, 12 assists. But it's not about numbers with him. It's just him being
what you see is what you get.
The ultimate professional, right? And like we could say so much about him, but he has been an integral part of this club for the last 7 years to where we are now.
League two, for him, he
was one game away from going basically from the non-league with Leyton Orient to the Premier League with us.
And to get into an FA Cup final a year later as well, mate. He's pretty much done the lot with us, hasn't he? He's been a great servant, Kelly. Don't get me wrong, we shouldn't have been playing him at this stage of the season, and that's no disrespect to him. That's just where he's at and his age, and he's good to have around the squad. But it was nice for him to get that moment yesterday and, you know, get that song going. As soon as I heard the Kelly song going,
it reminded
me of the League Two days away at Notts County and stuff like that, and singing that. It was just 1, 2, 3, 4. It was just quality to hear again. And like you said, ultimate professional, wore the armband for this club. And I think it's definitely safe to say, mate, that when we have another Legends Day in the coming years, he will definitely be one of those invited back and given a great reception by everyone, because without players like him and McFadden and all these type of players that have played for us over the years, without these great serves, look at Biamu yesterday as an example, without these players, we wouldn't be in the position of playing with players like Haji Wright and Sims and Jokeres and Hamer and all these players that we have had, and seeing what we are now. Without them, there is no that. So,
and he alluded to that himself in his little piece on the Scythian scene. If you haven't seen it, go watch that. It's really nice. Quality. The last 5 minutes are really, really nice with the team on the pitch with the kids, like we mentioned. Obviously, Liam Kelly getting interviewed as well.
Massively.
And don't forget, he raised the League One title trophy as well during COVID.
You know,
I think the word legend gets branded around quite a little bit.
Oh, he's definitely a
but he, for
legend.
Me, like he is a legend. Like there's no doubt about it. Like
no question about it.
Go on that journey. What was your favorite part about his game?
With Kelly, it was very. Don't be wrong, he's a very basic player. Like, you're not going to get him on the half turn and, you know, trying to. But one thing he was good at was reading certain moments of the game. Like, he knew when to calm it down. He knew when to do things at certain moments. He read ball a bit like Sheath, not to the level of Sheath, but he was very good at those little interceptions, you know, where he'd cut across and win the ball back, especially when he had legs when he was younger in his earlier years with us. He had that to a T, really. I think he has quite a an intelligent football brain. He knows what he's good at and what he needs to do. He doesn't ever try and do what he can't do, if that makes sense. He knows when he's on the pitch, I'm Liam Kelly, and this is what I'm here to do, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, basically.
Yeah, his positioning and his sort of reading of the game, I think, was like the one thing that always stood out to me.
Oh,
and that's what I liked about him. He was very football intelligent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've talked about the goals and assists there, but it's not about goals and assists for him. It's him being there and giving the opportunity for other players to venture forward and, you know, take those riskier options. And he was a safe pair of hands in the middle of the park.
I think with him as well, he's one of those, you know, you always speak about players that give 100% every game. Kelly definitely hits that one off to a T, I'd say. When you know he's on the pitch, you know, regardless of how he plays, he's going to work his bollocks off and he's going to give 100%, especially while he has that armband on, and he's going to give you a good reason to go and watch your team play, if that makes sense, because there's never going to be lack of effort or lack of try in there. Like even yesterday, mate, like when we weren't playing great, still chasing balls down, trying to get some form of press and legs really going in that midfield. So
that's the sort of demeanour he shows and possesses. Yeah, you know, and even during those, you look at over the 7 years, we've had some massive games. So you talk about the Notts County in the playoff semi-final, that second leg. He was
vital.
So
in that.
Good. Both playoff finals, incredible.
Yeah. Luton,
one of the best players against Luton. Rotherham away in that first season back in the Championship.
He was unbelievable.
Unreal that night.
In. Yeah.
Middlesbrough away last year in the semi-final. Again, for me, one of the best players on the pitch. It's just like he sort of turned up for all those big occasions. And drag
big game
the team
for
through.
Us, really, weren't
oh,
he?
Oh, massively, ways. Yeah. And I think people don't really appreciate that. And they look at like maybe his injury record and, you know, him not being a flair player, and it's sort of that sort of overshadows everything else. And I don't think we should look back at his time like that at all. I think he should be known for those big occasions. Was there a standout moment in his Coventry career for you?
It's hard because, like you said, he's not really scored many goals.
The two goals
really,
versus Wickham when he was on one leg. That was pretty cool.
That was a good moment for him, to be fair. I'd probably say his performance away at Notts County or Middlesbrough, one of those two, because obviously I was at both games and he was just so good in both the games. Like you said, he was vital in both. Like maybe the Notts County one was better in terms of like the fact, obviously, we ended up winning 4-1 and whatnot, but that Middlesbrough game. To show the balls, like, mate. I don't know if you were there. I can't really remember, but obviously I was there, and obviously, mate,
was in America.
Being there, like I've never been so nervous in my entire life. I actually felt physically sick. Like my head was spinning. Like when you see 8 minutes or whatever was added on, and you're 1-0 up away from home, and you're 8 minutes from Wembley of a playoff championship final. When you've seen what I've seen, and then to see players like him play how they played, and bodies on the line, and what they did. Moments like that we'll always remember, and we're quite a sentimental club, really, aren't we, Cov? We remember things, especially now with what's happened to us. And I agree with you, he definitely does define the word Coventry City legend by a mile. So I absolutely wish nothing but the best for him and his family and whatever he goes on.
And
he's still got
plenty in the tank to League One level. He drops down and becomes, you know, one of the top midfielders in the league, isn't it? That's the difference in the two divisions and how close it can be at times.
Big time.
We're just at the top half of the Championship now. We've moved on. We're probably 18 months ahead of where he is now because of his age. You know what I mean? So
yeah, definitely.
But like, best of luck to him. The Liam Kelly pyjamas will be remaining on my body for the foreseeable future until he retires, maybe. Or there's a new hero that takes his place in my bedroom drawer. We'll
do a Pep Guardiola. We just cannot replace him.
No, I don't. Well, talking about replacing him, I think that's obviously going to be absolutely vital, isn't it? I don't know how you do that. Like, I think we could definitely do Robbins. With the same type of player, but younger, someone around sort of 26, 27. But
yeah, I think Robbins alluded to it, didn't he, as well? He said in his post-match that, you want players like Kelly.
I think we're going to get Sakamoto's translator in.
Yeah, we
now.
Have to, mate. At some point, I'm telling you. I think it's taking its toll on me. But yeah, Robbins. Robin said, didn't he, that you want players like Kelly who are not just here for a stepping stone. We're not a stepping stone club anymore. Like, we are, you want to play for us, then you're here to achieve what we want to achieve with us. And Liam Kelly definitely, he dignified that to a T, really, didn't he, in terms of being here for 7 years. He's a top pro. He's been with us through everything that we've done in this recent period of time, the Robins era, so to speak. And you think they're the type of players that we want to be seeing now playing for the football club. He set that standard of what we should be looking for as a quality in terms of a player that we go for. So massively important that we replace him as not just a player, but an individual around the squad as well, and how he is as a person, how he conducts himself. So definitely, mate.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
And someone else we're going to have to look to replace as well. Callum O'Hare. Looks like he's made his last appearance yesterday for the Sky Blues. 182 appearances for Callum. 22 goals, 30 assists during that time. Another sad end to what's been a very memorable Sky Blues career for the Solihull Messi.
Yeah, mate, he's a top player, and I think he's got quite a bit to learn still. I think at the level, I think he's got definitely areas of his game that he needs to improve. But mate, it was the same with Gyökeres when he left, and look what he's done under a proper team and a proper coach at Sporting Lisbon, mate. You know what I mean? His record speaks for itself. When you go to a higher ability players like Morgan Rogers from Middlesbrough is a classic example. I didn't really think he was that amazing when he left. He was a good player, but God, he's scoring goals for fun for Philip Villa now, isn't he? And I was listening to Daniel Sturridge speak earlier, and he said it's no disrespect to Middlesbrough and almost teams like us, but when these players do leave, they're only naturally going to get better because of who they're playing with, the training that they've got, the intensity of it. So I think when he does go, he will naturally improve in certain areas because of the personnel that he'll be playing with and whatnot. But for us, mate, he's been so vital, and I think I've touched on it before. I'm really pleased that he obviously had that horrible injury last season, didn't he? And he had that horrible moment where he just barely kicked a ball, and he missed out on Wembley at the playoff final, which he deserved to be involved in, really, for everything he'd done. So it was really nice this year that he got his Wembley goal and he got his Wembley moment. Although we lost, he knows deep down that he was part of a team that basically beat Man United at Wembley and got to experience that. So it's, for me, I'm,
I bet you've got one of those t-shirts that bloke printed.
Yeah, mate, I'm just hiding it from you. I've not shown you yet. I've got to keep it away from you, mate, or else you'll be on to me about it. But he knows what he was part of, if that makes sense. And he's got that moment with him forever with the fans, and he got to have his Wembley experience where he wasn't just there in his tracksuit watching. He played pretty much, and he ran the most out of every COV player in that game. I think when it got 17 kilometres,
yeah,
he ran.
That's not nuts, yeah.
That's just ridiculous, mate. So he's been an unbelievable player. The song he's had, some of the stuff he's done, some of the performances that he's had in a COV shirt, and, you know, I'll always be grateful for what he's done for us. Now, I really do wish him well. I just hope he does not go to Leicester.
it was just one of those players that got you up off your seat, right? And that ability to sort of drag the team up the pitch, attracting more than one player to defend him, opening up space.
Plays
for,
on the half
for others.
Turn. No,
it was just exciting, wasn't it?
Good
to
in
see
the
him.
Pockets. Yeah,
when he was in, like at full flow, He was just incredible when he was, to watch.
When he was fit and for that, yeah. that season with Gyökeres, Hamer, O'Hare,
yeah.
when they were at the peak that season, although we had the drop off, but when they were playing, like when we played Fulham at home, an example, and won 4-1, like how good was O'Hare, Hamer, and Gyökeres and stuff in those games? Like it was just, it was a joy to watch, really, wasn't it? So he's had some top moments for us in a Cov shirt, and he got Leicester this year as well, where he was unbelievable in that game and the two goals
and Birmingham as well,
and Birmingham, yeah, and he's a couple of derby games at home where he's really turned up and put performances in, so I wish him nothing but the best, mate.
He's had some iconic moments, hasn't he, as well, like the boombox, the wig, the glasses away,
the glasses at Blues. I was there when he did that, yeah,
so
hilarious,
good. Like,
yeah.
We'll always remember those moments, and
definitely.
Yeah, it's just sad. It's kind of like it's ending in this way, like
yeah,
leaving on a free transfer, and you could tell there's obviously been a few harsh words probably said in relation to, you know, new contracts and stuff, and yeah, a football player's career is short. We can't begrudge him looking at
he wants to play at the top level, mate. Let's
I don't
be
think
honest,
he, and... I can't see him go to the Premier League though. I see him going abroad more than anything.
I think he might go abroad. I said to you ages ago, I'd heard that he'd been learning Spanish for a while, whether there's any truth to that or not. But I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in a league.
Hope
like
he wasn't learning it with you.
Oh, mate, he'd be absolutely fucked, wouldn't he, if he was learning with me? I could barely speak English, mate, let alone another language. You'd need a Spanish and a Japanese translator, mate, at the end of this. But yeah, no, he's a top pro. Do you know what I mean? He loved the club as well. I think he always will love Cov. He'll always have a massive love for us and the fans and what we did, especially when he had his ACL injury and his hamstring, getting him through those moments, big moments in his career. And we've always stuck by him, haven't we? We've never turned our back on him. So, and he knows how loved he is. So I wish nothing but the best for him, mate, wherever he ends up. And I hope he has a good career, just like I did with Hamer, Gyökeres, etc. Wish them nothing but the best, mate.
Absolutely. And that's from all of us at Sky Blues Extra as well.
Yeah.
Right. There's a few other players with question marks over their future. We know Simon Moore's going to leave the club. It's, you know, a very, very simple one. Louis Biggs, end of the loan situation for him. That'd be interesting to see how that sort of progresses in the summer. Robbins has alluded to liking him back at the club, but it might rely on a few other things happening as well. Rumoured interest in Jake Bidwell. Matt Godden, rumoured interest. Charlton, a few other League One clubs. Peterborough potentially as well, if they stay in League One. And obviously the Wilson-Collins situation. What's your thoughts on all of that? Where do you want to start first?
You didn't give me many options, mate, to start with, to be fair.
let's go with these first team players. So Jake Bidwell, I think his performances this season have been standout. He's in the running for player of the season for me. So I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, it'd be a bit of a weird one, wouldn't it, if he was to go? But you just don't know in football and how it pans out. To be honest, mate, if he does go, I'll just miss singing Jake Bidwell. Jake Bidwell.
That's a simple song for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easy for me, mate. But
it's simple.
It sums him up as a player, though, doesn't it, Jake Bidwell? What you see is what you get, and that's exactly what his song is. Just singing Jake Bidwell, Jake. Well, I'll never forget when it first started getting sung, and Callum O'Hare was absolutely killing himself laughing at the song, because it is just such a funny song, but it just describes
stupid,
Bidwell
isn't it?
To a T.
That is Cov singing and chanting in a nutshell for him.
He's had over 100 appearances for us, hasn't he, now? As
yeah,
well.
He has, yeah.
He got that shirt a couple of weeks ago. So he's playing a lot of games for us, mate. So I'd be surprised if he goes, but football's a funny game, mate. You don't know what the planning is. And we are, well, let's be honest, wide areas hasn't been the greatest this year. I know he's defended well, but let's not beat around the bush. Bidwell isn't the best going forward, is he? And he's not the most pacey, but he has been and done
solid.
What he needed to do. He's been solid. Like, he's been a good 7.5 to 8 out of 10 pretty much most games he's played in. So I remember on this pod, mate, the start of the season, we were talking about how he was pretty much done at Cov, because we were playing with a back five and De Silva had been brought in as a wing back, and we were going, how's Bidwell going to get back in? And like you've just alluded to, he's probably in the running for one of the players of the season now, mate. So it just shows you how things can just quickly turn with a blink of an eye. So yeah, it'd be sad if he goes, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be completely shocked because of how football is, but I would be a bit sad if Bidders was to go, because I do like Bidwell, but
yeah,
we'll just have to see
well.
What one, mate.
And Matty Godden, that's an interesting one. It wouldn't surprise me him leaving the club looking for more first team opportunities.
I think with him, he signed a new deal, didn't he, in the summer? So he's got another year left. So I think ideally, you're probably going to look at if 250k comes in for him, the club are going to accept it, aren't they?
I think the ideal situation is Peterborough don't get promoted and he's part of the deal that brings
someone on Burrows or someone to us. Yeah, send him back to Peterborough. He'd score goals for fun, mate. It'd be nice to see him back playing football and scoring goals, mate. As a Cov fan, it'd be wicked to see him smash that league next year with them. Do you know what I mean? We'd all enjoy that. So, yeah, I think if we get the right offer, mate, he could be one, because don't get me wrong, he's been a great servant for the club. But I've said even since last season, I didn't think he was good enough, mate. And I think people who said he was when he was playing a bit more, as you've saw by the end of the season, how little he's played pretty much tells you where Robbins and co think that he is with his career, in my opinion, at Cov. So I would not be surprised if that was the last time that we saw Godden in a Cov shirt, to be honest, mate.
He's posting more about golf at the moment than Cov.
Yeah, so. it seems like he's loving his golf, doesn't he? I think he's in for a good summer, mate, to be honest with you. But who can blame him? He's probably on, what, 8 to 10K a week. And
he's a hell of a golfer, by the way.
Yeah, he loves golf, mate. And just think now, he's going to be off. All he'll have to do now is keep a bit fit in the gym and go and play golf every day, mate. Some life,
swing
and
swing, yeah, not too bad. And obviously, as we alluded to, the one day after the season's ended, the transfer rumour silly season has already begun. Let's see what you think to these ones. Ben Sheaf to Luton for £8 to 10 million. Doesn't buy his left shoe, does it?
Oh, mate.
Why would you go to Luton anyway? Like, you're probably going to get relegated. Like, it doesn't.
It's just baffling
sense.
As well, because you'll see people's comments like Luton fans have commented on stuff. I've seen like 8 to 10 million or 12 million. He ain't worth that. And it's just like, okay. It's like, what you're not understanding is, as well, regardless of what you think he's worth, he's our captain with 2 years left on his contract. So if you want him, you pay what we want. Do you know what I mean? Like, players that have moved for all sorts of money are never worth that money, but they go because that's what the club wants and demands for it. So someone wants Sheaf, mate. The only way you get a conversation is 20 million plus, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%.
Has to be. Yeah, rubbish, mate. Load of rubbish.
Another one, De Silva. There's interest from Germany.
Don't get me wrong, mate. There'll be people like, I've always defended Silva. Like, don't get me wrong, he's had stinkers this year where he's not been great.
But everyone's had stinkers.
Yeah, but I think he's got some good qualities. Like, when he has been on it, like when he played against United the other week, he was great when he come on in that game. And he's had games where he's come on and been quite good.
Well, start of the season, the first 7-8 games, we were like, he's
really
the standout performer.
Yeah, and then he just suddenly, because we changed to a back four, I think it absolutely
just hasn't suited him,
didn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's not suited him and it's taken a bit of adapting to, but... To be honest, mate, I mean, if someone wants him, you're looking at probably a good couple of million, aren't you? If you to move someone like him on, he's got 3.5 years left of us. He signed a 4-year deal or 4.5 year deal, whatever it was. So you want him, pay a little bit of money for him, mate. And it can go towards potentially Burrows or someone, you don't know. Yeah, but
one to keep a look eye on over the summer for sure. And another one here that I was told yesterday about. There's been initial chats with Casey Palmer for extension of contract, but those talks have not gone down well. From what I've heard.
Ooh, so that's an interesting one. I wonder if he wants more money then or something.
That's one to keep an eye on.
See, I like Palmer, but I wouldn't be too arsed if we shipped him off. I'll be totally honest, because he's just a very, very frustrating player. Like, he's got a lot of quality, and when he turns up, mate, he is brilliant. But for me, it's not consistent enough. That's the half the reason that he's still at us. If he was consistent at what he does, mate, we'd have a number 10 that would be worth 20 odd million quid, mate, that we'd be selling to a Premier League team. Do you know what I mean? That's the one thing that lets Palmer down, is he's just so inconsistent with what he does. So if talks have not got, if he stays, I'll be happy. If he goes for a bit of money, I'll also be happy. So it's a win-win, that one, in my opinion, mate, to be honest with you.
Interesting stuff to keep an eye on
there's gonna be so many rumors, mate. You're gonna go
imagine last summer was mental. Just imagine mate, what's going to be like.
Can you imagine
year?
How many plane trackings we'll have going on this summer and stuff, mate, that we're going to see?
And we've got the Euros as well, which just throws more spanners into the works.
Oh, so big time, mate. There'll be players that come up from I think Robbins has said there's a few internationals, so people like Hadji and De Silva and stuff anyway, aren't they? I think some of them have got, like, is it the Copper America?
Is it the Gold Cup they've got this summer as well?
A few of our players will be playing in that as well. So they're going to get a break, but they'll also be doing some international stuff as well. So that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on, Hadji and co, and see how they get on for their countries, mate. But yeah, it's going to be a summer full of ins and outs and rumours galore, mate. It is every year. And the bigger that we get and what we're doing, the more this is going to happen when you become a big club. More players are going to be rumoured to be interested in. And, you know, once the season's fully over and teams like West Brom, Norwich, Southampton, whoever stay down, that's when you'll properly know what the crack is. But I also said to my dad earlier on, I made a point, people are forgetting we've also got a month head start on transfers compared to what we did a year ago.
Yeah,
we had the playoffs
we're still
to focus
playing,
on.
Still playing, you know what I mean? Towards the end of the month. Yeah.
5th of May, mate. We've got nothing to play for now, whereas we didn't finish till nearly the end of May last year. So we've got an extra 4 weeks to really plan ahead for that pre-season, which is going to be really key, because Robin said, didn't he, and Doug King, that the summer cost us a little bit. We should have got more done than what we wanted to.
Oh, we were
really
3 weeks behind.
Yeah. So those 3 weeks are pivotal for us, mate, this year, to make sure that players are in for that pre-season period and not missing a good bit
of
the pre-season.
I'm ready to go, yeah.
Yeah, which is going to be vital for us this year, mate. But yeah, it's going to be full of ins and outs and rumours galore, mate. But we'll just enjoy the ride and see what happens.
Quick chat about the end of the season in the Championship. Obviously, playoffs are now confirmed. We're going to have, before we go to this, we will have a season review in a few weeks' time. We'll look back at the whole season for the Sky Blues. We're going to do that in person at the tavern. So that'd be fun. A few beers, a few curries, us chatting shit about the whole season. That'd be one to look forward to. So
they get to see everyone's faces live, mate, as well. They get the luxury of that. Can you imagine? And you're definitely going to get ripped for saying Blues were the one to watch.
Yeah, come on now. They were the ones to watch.
They were, mate, to be fair, sacking Eustace was the most ridiculous thing they've ever
exactly.
Done.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I will live on that sword and die by that sword.
Dean will live to fight another day, mate, and something Blues couldn't do.
There's a lot of other shite predictions that you want to look at, not that one. But yeah, we'll look back at the whole season in a few weeks' time, so that will hit you in box. So yeah, just before we go tonight, Ross, let's talk about those playoffs. Leeds versus Norwich. Southampton versus West Brom.
I only see it, to be honest, mate. Southampton, West Brom, that's a catch-22.
That could go anywhere.
Because West Brom could do that, because they are quite a difficult team. But I do think if Southampton turn up, they could absolutely rip them to shreds. Norwich versus Leeds, I just think Leeds are going to be really pissed off and hungry and are going to just... That game at Elland Road could finish 5-0, as an example. They could absolutely blow them away. Like, I went to Elland Road this year, although obviously it's a completely different scenario, but that is such a tough place to go, mate. Like, the way they play, even the home game when we beat them, they are ridiculously good, mate, and their fans and the players are going to be really annoyed at the minute with the way they've ended the season. So I think they're going to use a bit of a reset now and they're going to just get all heads in and go. So for me, I think they're just going to blow Norwich out of the water. I'll be very surprised if Norwich make that final. I'll be totally honest, especially with the way they've ended the season as well. I don't see that going one way. The one that's going to be interesting to watch will definitely be Albion versus Saints, definitely.
I think it'll be a Leeds-Southampton final.
Yeah, I'm very confident on that, but it could be a Leeds-West Brom final, depending on if West Brom can do something good.
Yeah, and Leeds are 0-5 in playoff appearances. Did you know this?
Well, that's some good stats, isn't it?
0-5 chances in the playoffs.
I know, but one of the last ones that I saw them in was when it didn't Derby do them in the playoffs, when Lampard was the manager at their place. I remember watching that downstairs years ago in my house. That was terrible. It was the league was in their hand at one point. They bottled it and then they went to the playoffs and did the same. It was terrible. That was.
I don't want West Brom to go up because we've already lost a Derby with Birmingham.
The only real Midlands Derby we'd have would be Derby, wouldn't it, next year? So
yeah. And that's like the Midlands, is it? It's East.
No,
Midlands,
it's, yeah, so. It's not even really. Yeah, I'd like to keep West Brom. It's a good little away ground to go to as well. I don't see them going up, even if they
no,
get...
No, I don't either.
I think even if they get there, they'll end up losing. So I think it's going to be Leeds that go up, if I'll be totally honest. So
yeah,
I don't see anyone else doing it. I just think they've got big game players, big club. They're annoyed. They're going to show their quality. I just think that's how it's going to pan out.
And maybe this time next year, we'll be talking about us in the playoffs, or when we were talking about automatic promotion. So,
well, I looked at Ipswich yesterday and I thought if they can do what they've done, anything is well and truly possible in this division, mate. So if we strengthen how we can, we've got the backing that we now have and the support we do and the management team, etc., that we've got and the connection that we've got. If we can just nail our summer business properly and get it done, we could be in for a very, very good season next year. So let's see what we can do.
Well, that's a nice optimistic way to end the season, Ross.
I've had my rant now, mate. We've gone into positive things, so positive stuff
vibes,
on the brain now,
the
mate.
The vibes are flowing.
Yeah, we all know that we've got a good squad of players, mate. People just get frustrated, which you are going to do because we pay money to watch it and we know the standards that we should be hitting. And unfortunately, the end of the season has been crap. It's not been good enough. So you've just got to call it out for what it is. But there's no reason to be like, oh, this is going
on. We should be optimistic going into next year. We've seen signs, and if we add to those signs, it can only mean good things.
And we know the pool of players that we can go in for to try and go and get. So we know that we're going to be in a good pool of players and we're shopping in a totally different market nowadays. So we know that if we nail the summer business, we could be in a very, very strong position next year. And I trust the infrastructure that we have in place to get it right this time round, most definitely. So I'm nothing but optimistic, mate. I just think let it be now and have a good summer and see what we do then come the start of the season in August.
A nice way to end the podcast and a nice way to close out the season, Ross. Thank you for joining me this episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast. And to you, the listeners, a big thank you, obviously, for listening throughout the whole season, listening to us ramble on each week. We hope you've especially Ross. We hope you've enjoyed it. And obviously a big thank you to our sponsors at the Sky Blue Tavern for their support throughout the season. Also, as I alluded to earlier, we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a full season review, which we're doing in person. So you'll be able to watch and listen to that. And we go again next year. Sky Blue Army, play up Sky Blues.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.